This is Rabbi Sharon Brous, Rabbi at Ikar, where we're dedicated to reinvigorating Jewish community, ritual, and learning, all while laying the foundation for a just and loving society. You're listening to Ikar's podcast, where you can hear our sermons from Shabbat and holidays, our teachings, our guest speakers, basically anything we think worth hearing that we can capture and stream, you can listen to right here. The whole Megillah. I mean, literally, the whole Megillah. So thank you so much for being with us.
Some of my favorite memories of Purim growing up include the kind of later in the day on Purim when we've received Mishloach Manot, these little packages of goodies and treats from other people. We've gone out, we've done deliveries, and my brothers and I would take all the Mishloach Manot, we would just dump everything on the dining room table. I didn't grow up celebrating Halloween, but from my understanding, this is what people do with all the candy in the hall. And it was just great. We would look at it, and I want that. There were always way too many hamantaschen. But part of what makes me laugh in this memory and in these memories is my mom, because my mom looked at that hall and said, well, it's almost Pesach. Passover's coming. We got to make sure to get rid of all of the chametz before Pesach. Right? She was looking, and I, of course, as a kid, I'm like, it's not almost Pesach. Pesach is a whole month away. But now as an adult, I'm like, okay, it's almost Pesach. We're going to eat down the cereal. We're going to make sure all those hamantaschen are gone and not sitting in a child's room. And the truth is that our tradition tells us we need some preparation time for Pesach. We do. Sho'alin v'dorshin shloshim yom lifnei achag. The Talmud teaches us 30 days before the holiday, which, by the way, is Purim. We start asking questions, we start trying to answer them, we start digging in a little bit. So why is this necessary specifically for Pesach, for Passover? Well, the most obvious answer is because there are so many rules for Passover. So many rules. The kashrut, the kosher laws for Passover are stricter and more complex and nuanced, and depending on what tradition you come from and this, that, and the other thing, there's a lot that goes into Pesach. But what is also critical, I think, like the high holidays, which we also build in a good solid month to prepare for, there's the spiritual preparation that allows for the power of Pesach to work on us as individuals and as a collective. One aspect of Pesach is that it is rooted in emunah, in faith. It's a holiday when we tap into the deepest truth that even what seems absolutely impossible can come to be. That even standing on the banks of a sea, enemies closing in on us, maybe, just maybe, the laws of nature will even be suspended. And the sea will open up to great expanse. How do we get to the point from here of that spiritual openness and imagination to see ourselves ki'ilu yatzanu mimitzrayim, as if we ourselves left Egypt? So I think today's parsha, Tzav, offers us one interesting framework. It's what's referred to as Trumat Hadeshen, the lifting of the ashes off the altar in the Mishkan from the day before sacrifices. So if you've been following at the end of the book of Exodus, we learned about the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which is the place that the Israelites would construct and then take down, construct and then take down over their travels in the desert. Eventually, we had the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, which became the fixed location for what? For the lighting of the menorah, and most importantly and significantly, for the offering of korbanot, of sacrifices. The book of Leviticus, which we're in now, talks a lot about sacrifices, as you may have seen if you're following along. What is the first act of temple service every single morning that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, the holiest role in all of Judaism, in everything at that time, what was his first act? It was to deal with the ashes on the altar from the day before. It's like taking out the trash, maybe, Or it actually feels a little bit to me like in the morning when the dishwasher has been running at night and then you have to empty the dishes so that you can put more dishes in. So the cycle, right? So what is going on here? Why is the Kohen Gadol cleaning up the ashes? We might think someone else would be tasked with that kind of job. So I think that our tradition is offering us this ritual to help us understand what helps and what hinders spiritual growth and connectedness. Lots of people have commented on this Trumat Hadeshen over the years. Right? Maybe by starting his day addressing the ashes from yesterday's sacrifice, our Kohen Gadol is linking the new day with the old, recognizing that the goal is to offer the new day's sacrifice and to find connection and forgiveness and gratitude and closeness. You may have seen in our commentary in the Eitz Chaim in the Chumash we used today, a teaching of Simcha Bunim of Pshischa, that what was holy yesterday must be treated with respect today as well. On the other hand, Nechama Leibovitz notes that the Kohen was required to change clothes when removing the ashes from the Beit HaMikdash. And she says the Torah is cautioning us, and this is in her words, that one must not regale oneself in pomp for that which belongs in the past, to the past. It is superseded by the present mitzvah that each day bids us observe. The Kohen would change into probably some older Kohen clothes, some schmutzier clothes, in order to take the ashes outside of the camp. A practical idea. You didn't want him to get really dirty, but there's also a spiritual meaning here that Nechama Leibovitz is drawing upon, which is today's mitzvah, today's acts, those get the full Kohen clothing. And when you're really delving into the past, it's important to differentiate that that was yesterday and today is today. According to these, we might ask ourselves, what in our yesterday is holy and must be elevated and honored? And in what ways are we keeping ourselves wrapped up in and trapped in the past, impeding our ability to find presence or look ahead toward the future? Don't wear your fancy Kohen clothes when you're handling the ashes of the past at the expense of showing up right for the present. Sefer HaChinuch offers a practical reminder, but one that I think also has deeper meaning. The flame for the new sacrifices burns better when there are no ashes underneath. Which ashes are sitting on our beautiful altar, dimming our flame and preventing us from connecting more deeply with others, with ourselves, and with the divine? And there's one more idea, which I read from Rabbi Jay Levine, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, a Hasidic teacher. He looks at one of the details of this Trumat Hadeshen, of this ritual in the morning, that changing of clothes. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim says that these clothes represent the mental chatter and the unbeneficial thoughts that we might be carrying with us. These are outward things. These are not inherent to who we are, but they're things that maybe we take on over time. And what does it mean to change one's clothes spiritually? It means to replace those garments with garments of holiness. Pesach is coming, and it's a time for each of us to be sho'alin v'dorshin, to ask, to seek, to expound, to dig into our own spiritual health and well-being, to spend some time examining our own sacred altar. What do we need to do? What and where are the ashes that we need to address so that we can sit at that Seder table with hearts even just a little more free? It's time to clear away the ashes to make space for redemption, for faith, and for limitless possibility. Shabbat Shalom.
Hi, it's Rabbi Brous again. Thank you so much for listening. Want more content like this? I hope you'll subscribe. And please consider making a contribution to IKAR so we can continue to work toward the fulfillment of our mission to reanimate Jewish life, to embody moral courage, to nurture the spirit, and to work to decipher what it means to be a human being in the world today. Visit our website at IKAR.org. That's IKAR.org. And I hope to see you, maybe even in person, sometime soon.